الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك توغا وتمتعه فيها طويلا We talked about the subject on Zuhur Asghar and Zuhur Akbar, meaning that Imam's arrival will take place. Inshallah, before that, there will be a minor arrival, which will be the arrival of the name of the Imam, which is going to be evident and present everywhere. And that is known as Zuhur Asghar. And for that, it was mentioned, and you can see it for yourself, even today, compared to the past decades, the name and fame of the Imam is present much more today. People, they say, Ya Aba Saleh, much more as they did in the past. The call for Aba Imam al-Asr is more today than it used to be in the past. So all these are the good signs that we have, and we thank Allah for giving us this opportunity to be in a time wherein the name and the fame of Imam is evident and present everywhere. Again, another Friday passed, and as it was mentioned, that the program that we have should be as such that we remember the Imam, especially on this day. And we look into our own performance report, that how were we on this day, did a tear shed for the Imam, remembering him on this day or not? Again, it was mentioned with reference to the satanic traps and the salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad
And again, it was mentioned regarding the satanic traps and the traps which Shaitan lays. And it was mentioned yesterday that ما قتل الحسين إلا في السقيقة. That if you look into the whole history, it wasn't as such that Abu Abdullah Hussein was killed on the day of Ashura. In the true sense, Imam was killed on Saqifa, the day when Rasulullah passed away, and when that majlis was held, that office was held, wherein the Imamat was seized away from its rightful authority, which is Amir al-Mu'mineen. That day Abu Abdullah was killed. So it wasn't Saqifa. So the traps which Shaitan lays, Shaitan he thinks for decades, centuries ahead. He doesn't look just like us, a step forward. No, he looks far away. He has calculated everything, as it was mentioned the other day, with regarding the eatables that we have, the flavors that we have, and then all the other steps. Shaitan, he has a program for the next 30, 40 years, and he wants to make things that are haram today, halal. For that, he can't do it in one go. He comes up with different tactics, with different conspiracies, makes flavorings haram, halal, and then the next steps until the thing itself comes, which is najis, and it becomes halal all of a sudden. And it was mentioned yesterday that the link that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created for us is based on love, is mahabbat. And that is available from his side, we have to try and do something so that we also relate in the same way with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For that, many things are present. For example, one of them is Salatul Layl, Namaz-e-Shab, the nocturnal prayers. If a person recites these Salatul Layl, the riwayah, they say that a person will become enlightened, will become nurani, his sustenance, his rizq, which is guaranteed, will be given to him more, and he will have a blessed life. If a person recites Salatul Layl with that intention, it's okay. He has done a job. But someone who does it only, wholly and solely for Allah, that is the best. Or if we relate the topic with Imam Al-Asr, about if we have a connection with the Imam only for those needs and requirements that we have, that is okay. But the best is that we try and do something that we relate with him so that we ease his burden, so that his tasks, we take a bit of that burden that is on him. About 50 years ago, in Madrasa Faiziya in Qom, there was a student, and he had that good batin, that good interior. His whole soul was pure. And he had that feeling that if he requests something from the 12th Imam, Imam will not decline his request, he will give it to him immediately. Now, bearing in mind, we have ahadith which say that you have to be so close to the Imam that the table salt that you have, which is the easiest and the cheapest stuff in your house, or the shoelaces that you have, which are the cheapest things that are present in your livelihood, you should be so close to the Imam that for that table salt and for the shoelaces, you ask him. That is, for every little thing, be in his service. Be in contact with him. Ask him. Approach him. So that way, a stronger connection and a link is created with the Imam. Says that once, and I was in desperate situations in Qom, no funds, no money, no food, my children to look after, and I found no way out. So I said to myself, I'll just list the things I need and ask them from the Imam. Starts listing his grocery list, whatever he wanted at home, oil, food, rice, flour, salt, etc., etc. And the last thing he was writing down on his shopping list, he hears the door knock. And there is someone with an abba on his head, with a carrier bag in his hand. He gives the bag to this person, says, this has been sent to you from the Imam. Now, having a connection with the Imam is good. But says that you want to relate to the Imam, don't bother him with these little things. Try to take the burden off him. Now, he will definitely give you, he is Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem, that is what his ancestors, his grandfathers did, Rahmatun lil Alameen, in every aspect. So, a relationship has to be with the Imam, so close. And then he says that when I looked into this person, who he was, who gave this shopping list to him, was one of the ulama who passed away recently, says that he appoints one of the other associates for this shopping list to be delivered to someone who is in need. So there is such a close circuit contact and bond of the Imam, especially to his Shias. And it was mentioned the other day and repeatedly that one of the reasons for that bond is, after all, we are his relatives. According to those ahadiths that were recited, that Shi'atuna qad khuliqu min fadhili tinatina wa ujinu bi nuril wilayah, that they have been created with the leftover clay with which ma'sumin were created. As a result of that, there is a special bond which we have with the Imam. Now, so the relationship that Allah has created with mankind, with his entire creation, is based on love. And again, the same thing is seen in the wasaya that we have from Ma'sumin. They say that لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَسَاسٍ وأساس الإسلام حبنا أهل البيت. That everything has a base, everything has a foundation. And the foundation of Islam is love for Ahlul Bayt. And if someone possesses that love for Ahlul Bayt, he is guaranteed, he is safe. Or elsewhere, in another report, a Shia, he traveled all the way to Medina to meet the fifth Imam Baqir alayhi salatu wassalam. And in those tense days when travel and journey wasn't as easy as today, he comes to the fifth Imam and his feet were bleeding by the time he arrived at Medina. And he shows his feet and the blisters on his feet to the Imam and says, Imam, do you see these feet which are bleeding? Nothing brought me all the way to Medina but that love which I have to you. And Imam in reply says, Hal al-deen illa al-hub. Deen, is it anything else but hope? It's love. Deen is love. Or elsewhere says, Hal al-deen illa al-hub wal-bughd. That deen, religion, faith, it's love and hate. So a person, if he has faith, he has love. That is the basis. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ أَسَاسٍ وَأَسَاسُ الْإِسْلَامِ حُبُّنَا أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. So if you have immense love to Ahlul Bayt, they too have the same love to you. As it was mentioned, that someone comes to the Imam and says that, Imam, do you love me? Imam says, look into your own heart. If you have the amount of love you have to me, I also have that to you. The same thing is seen in Ziyarat Ali Yasin. So it is not just that basic love that many non-Muslims do have that. Many a times you find Hindus, you find those who are not Shias, they cry for Abu Abdullah, they mourn for him, they respect him, even Christians, they do that. But if you look into that love which they have, it's a little faulty love. A true love is something which stems out from a person and it evolves that heart of that individual. Otherwise, just having a love for Ahlul Bayt, that is not sufficient. That wilaya has to be there. Wilaya means accepting the custodianship of the Imam in every walk of life. Whatever they have said to do, we do. So mahabbat, if a person does have that mahabbat in his heart, that mahabbat, if it's a true mahabbat, it blossoms and the actions, the faith, the belief of an individual also adapts with the teachings of the Imam. A person comes, well, you have heard this hadith from our 8th Imam Rida alayhi salatu wassalam. Says that kalimatu la ilaha illallah hisni, that when you say la ilaha illallah, this recital of la ilaha illallah, Allah says hisni, it's my fortress. Whosoever enters this fortress, amina min adabi, it will be protected from my adab, from my chastisement. But Imam says bishartiha wa shurutiha, but there are some conditions. With those conditions, ana min shurutiha, and I, the Imam, is among its conditions. That is, without Imamat, even la ilaha illallah will not be accepted.
Allah.
So it's as easy as that. A person, for him to have faith in Allah, having faith in Allah, in His justice, without nabuwwah, without imamah, or having faith in tawheed and qiyamah without imamah, that is incomplete. It's like having no faith at all. We can't have pick and choose in these aqaid. So it's one package. Now, if you look into and analyze this concept of tawheed again carefully, or concept of imamah again carefully, imamah is tawheed. Masoom, he teaches us how to be a muwahid, how to have that faith in that one God. So, love and hate. Hal al-deen illa al-hub wal-bughd. Deen is nothing but love and hate. So this love and hate, it's the other applicable of tawalla and tabarra. Tawalli or tabarri. And tawalli and tabarri, we normally list them in furu'ad-deen, when the reality is that they should be listed in usul-ad-deen. A person, when he embraces and accepts Allah, immediately he negates and segregates with everything which opposes Allah. So that love for Allah is there, immediately that hate for everything which is against Allah is automatically there. So, in a true sense, tawalla and tabarra belongs to the usul-ad-deen, not the furu'ad-deen. So, another report from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam once in the mosque, he has a quiz. He poses a question to the people present over there, the ashab, the companions, everyone. Says, Ayyu ura al-Iman awsaq. Says that from among all the different strains of Iman, which of them is the strongest? Everyone gives an answer. Someone says prayers, one says fasts, one says hajj, one says jihad, one says umrah, everyone says something. And then Rasulullah, he says, Walakin awsaq ura al-Iman. Al-Hubbu fillah wal-Bughdhu fillah. Says the strongest string of Iman is love for Allah, hate for Allah. That is, for the sake of Allah, I love whatsoever He has said to love, and I hate whatever He has asked me to hate. Or as we recited in Ziyarat Ashura, that salam has to be there for Aba Abdullah, and immediately that la'an also has to be there for the oppositions of Aba Abdullah. Whenever you accept Rahman, immediately you have to segregate with Shaitan in every level. Because Shaitan, he is not one existence, one creature that you can fight. Shaitan, he is in layers. He attacks everyone based upon his ability and he approaches them as Rahman does the same. As the Rahmat and the love, it's in layers, Shaitan also it's in layers. So to approach Allah, the best way, it's by that love, and you have to detect what that true love is. And over here, Ma'asum says that Asasul Islam, Hubbuna Ahl al-Bayt. So, again, Imamahs, we have to have a special bond with that, and in particular with the Imam of time. And when we say Salat, it doesn't mean the applicable of the salat is what we do, what we recite. But Ma'asumeen, when inquired, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says, Ana salat, I am the prayer. I am the prayer. Not that bowing of me in ruku, going in sajda, that are the different angles that a person does. The haqiqat, the reality of prayer is Amir al-Mu'mineen. Or if you look into Quran, says that, when the ayat of Quran were revealed and they were sent to this earth, or if you look into the hadith that we have from the Rasulullah, that he says, I am leaving behind the book and my Ahlul Bayt. So the two are one. It's not two things. Or he's leaving behind book and Ahlul Bayt. One in the sense that if someone respects Quran, he has respected Ahlul Bayt. You can't say that I respect Quran, but I don't respect Ahlul Bayt. It's impossible. So if someone does that, it is as if he hasn't respected Quran also. If someone has disrespected Ahlul Bayt, he has disrespected Quran as well. If someone bashes the door on Hazrat Zahra, he has bashed on Quran. So the two are hand in hand. It's like the two wings of a bird. A bird cannot elevate, cannot fly with just one wing. The two are together. And that is why we find in a hadith that on the Day of Judgment, when Quran will appear in Mahshar, Mahshar present over there, people will say that this being doesn't belong to us. It belongs much higher. It will be sent to the Shuhada. Shuhada, they say that it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to someone much higher, of a higher grade. Again, from Shahada elevates to the prophets. Prophets say, no, he doesn't fit in our group. It has to be much, much higher than us. So much so, it elevates and comes to the Arsh, the throne of Allah. And there it will be understood that is, and that Quran will start mediating and performing shafa'ats for everyone present in Mahshar. And there it will be understood that wasn't Quran, that was the batin of Ali, that was the batin of Ma'sumin alayhi salam. So it is Ma'sum is the book. When we say Ali, Ali is the book. When we say Quran, Quran is Ali, and Ali, as Rasulullah has said repeatedly, that wherever you find Quran, Ali is there. Wherever Ali is there, Quran is there. Wherever Haqq is there, he is with Haqq. And these two never separate. You can't dissect them, you can't separate them. They are together one part, one existence. And that is why we find Ma'sumin, they say that Anas Salat, I am the prayer. Anas Siyam, I am the fast. Or when our sixth Imam was inquired about Salat, he says, Nahnu Salat, Nahnu Siyam, that we Ahlul Bayt, we are the prayer. We Ahlul Bayt, we are the fasts. And that is why we find that Man Nam Yusalli Alayhim La Salata Lahu, that whosoever doesn't recite as salawat upon Ahlul Bayt, no salat is for him. Salawat means that salutation which we send, salawat. So someone who doesn't recite, now whenever salawat we recite, that all has to exist in it, that we, oh God, send salutation upon Muhammad and his progeny. And if this progeny is taken away from that, that salawat also never elevates. It has no sense. So someone who doesn't recite this salawat, that salat of his, which is the prayers, that also is not acceptable. And if someone, when he recites his prayers, and he forgets to recite that salawat and his tashahud, that namaz also is batil. He has to make it over again. So it's so much strong that without Ahlul Bayt, without that salawat of them, for them, even in prayers, that prayer becomes batil. So, لَيْسَ الدِّينَ إِلَّا الْحُبْ وَالْبُغْضِ. Deen, it's nothing but love and hate. And that love for Allah and everything which sits against Allah, that has to be opposed. And the same thing can be seen in the in Ayatul Kursi. We say that وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ أَوْلِيَاؤُهُمُ الطَّاغُوتُ يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. That those who embrace kufr, their awliya are the taghut. يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ. That someone who accepts the wilaya of taghut, wilaya of shaitan, Allah, he puts him away from nur, he exits him, and he comes into darkness in zulumat. So as we have a wilayat for Allah, there is a wilayat of shaitan as well. And someone who embraces, there is a hadith which says that a person, when he is born, the surface of his heart is crystal clear, white. And the moment he sins, a black spot appears on that heart. If he sins, that black spot is there. And if he repents, says sincerely, Allah, he wipes it out, erases it. And if he doesn't repent, that black spot becomes larger and larger. And due to excessive and continuous sinning, a time comes when that heart becomes black. And that time nothing can be done. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ سَمْعِهِمْ وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غَشَاوَةٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. If that heart becomes dark, if that heart becomes black, we cannot do anything to that. So that's why we are said that constantly a person should be repenting. And we shouldn't say that we haven't done anything wrong today, so we don't say sorry to Allah. We are drowned in sins. Although we may not be committing sins, but the reality is that we are all drowned in sins. And the definition of sin that was mentioned, anything that distances us from Allah, that is a sin. So, Again, it was mentioned in the earlier days that these sticks, these kicks, or these things that come around during our lifetime, we have to analyze them, that why did that happen? Why did that kick? For example, the camel which kicked Sheikh Rajab Ali Khayyam. Why did he kick? So why is we have to look into them? We just shouldn't walk away from those issues easily. Because the whole idea is that we have to train ourselves throughout our life. Reporting from Ayatullah Sheikh Hassan Zadeh Amuli, who is among one of the greatest ulama of the Shia world, living in Qum, says about 30-40 years ago, when it was summertime and it was hot in Qum, people they used to travel to the Kuda places, and he travels to Amul, about 400-500 kilometers from Qum. And his schedule, daily schedule, was there. In the mornings he used to teach, in the afternoons he used to rest a bit and again continue with his study. Says once he comes home and it's hot, he is dead tired, and he wants to have a little nap. And the moment he lies down, the kids, they start running around in the house. He gets angry. Now, people of that caliber, when they get angry, it's not like our anger, not like our rage. His tone changes, for example. And then tells them off, the children. From that moment, he becomes restless. That why did I tell these children off? Why did I scold them? Why did I change my tone to them? Immediately goes to the market, gets some candies, some sweets for them, so that the children, they are happy with him and pleased with the father. Says, no, it's more than that. First of all, why did I get angry with them? Travels all the way from Amul to Tabriz, about 2,000 kilometers. Comes there to see his ustad, marhum Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Ilahi, the elder brother of Sayyid Muhammad Hussain Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan. He comes to his house and knocks the door, and he is amazed to see his student after such a long time and from such a long distance. And then the ustad says to the student that I was writing a note to my younger brother in Qom. What was the note? That his ustad, marhum Qazi, who passed away about 30-40 years ago from Barzakh, informs Sayyid Muhammad Hassan to write to Sayyid Muhammad Hussain that why did Sheikh Hassan Zadeh Amuli, how is he going to serve Imam al-Asr with this attitude of his? Now what was that attitude? Just changed his tone towards the children. He is ashamed. He says this is what had happened. So people of that great caliber who want to be among the associates of the Imam, tests for them also, they are tough. Now the reason for mentioning this was that how these people, these personalities grow. It is not as such that they are born great. They may have been given and blessed by Allah certain qualities, but they have to grow with them. They have to take care of them. Or for example, marhum Ayatullah Uthman Burujerdi, among the great Marathi Taqreen of the past century, he in his Dars-e-Kharij, now Dars-e-Kharij, the ustad, he poses a question, a mas'ala, and all the students present in that majlis, they have a debate. Sometimes it's a heated debate and it may take an hour. Now one of the students was asking too many questions. So again, his tone changed. Comes down and says, where is the address, the house of this student of mine, this sheikh? I want to see him. Goes to his house and says, I've come here all the way to kiss your hand. I want to say sorry to you that my tone changed. I was enraged in that dars. He says, nothing to worry. I never thought of that issue. It was something normal that we had a debate, and in that debate, there is a heated talk. He says no. Now, who says no? The Marja'i Taqleed, the whole sole authority of the Shia world, and everyone is in his Taqleed. An old man, 90 plus years of age. He says, I have to kiss your hand. He says, no, I won't let you. He says, by God, I've forgiven you. There's nothing in my heart. And then he says, now his associates, they say that he imposed upon him a one-year fast. He fasted for 1 year just because his tone changed and he was angry or enraged with his student. So these great personalities, their performance is great. And the control that we have, that they have on themselves, that too is amazing. So the topic is Asasul Islam, Hubbuna Ahlul Bayt, that the basis of Islam is love for Ahlul Bayt. In one of the riwayat, there is a conversation between Allah and Prophet Ibrahim. Ibrahim Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Allah says to Ibrahim, it's not a question of any answer. God knows everything what is in the heart of Ibrahim. And says, do you like yourself more or do you like the Prophet of the end of time? Prophet Ibrahim says that I like the Prophet of the end of time. Why? Says that because Allah, you like him more. Because he is Habibullah, he is more beloved before you, so I also love him more. Now in this whole scenario of wilayat, which is the custodianship of ma'sumin, now it should be as such that we also base the love and hate that we have according to the description which they have described. That is, mu'mineen, they have a wilaya, a brother, he has a wilaya. In the community, we have a wilaya, a father has wilaya over his children, husband and wife. So there is a wilaya, there is a right which each one of them possesses. So how we relate with each one of them should be based upon how Imam relates with us. Now if we say that if we deteriorate or severe ties with others for the reason that they are bad, it means if we analyze and see the whole scenario, it should be as such that Imam, he should break ties with us as well because we are bad. But he doesn't do that. So we also shouldn't do that. It's all a lesson to myself first. So maintaining relationships again should be based upon how Imam maintains relationship. So we don't want him to severe ties with us, so we also don't severe ties with others. He doesn't neglect us, we don't neglect others. So we must not throw them away, that is, the other members of the society, if we are not pleased with them, as Imam doesn't do that. There is a hadith again from Usul al-Kafi, a farmer from Ahwaz, comes to Medina and comes to the Imam and says that the governor of Medina, he has imposed upon me a tax of 10,000 dirhams. And he says that I am poor and if I am to pay this tax to him, I haven't got anything else to survive, to look after my wife, my children, my farms, my animals, nothing at all. And says to the Imam that the governor in Ahwaz, Najashi, he is among your friends. If you could do me a favor, write him a note. Imam writes a note, just one sentence. What is that? Says, Surra akhak yasurraka Allah. Please your brother, Allah will please you. He comes to Ahwaz from Medina and comes to the governor and gives this note to the governor. Now he is someone who loves the Imam. As soon as he sees the note, with all that respect he has to that note which has come from the Imam, he says that from my personal funds, the tax of this year of yours will be waived, I'll pay it myself. And the tax for the following year again, I will pay that. Are you pleased now? He says, yes, I'm happy and pleased. And then he says that, in addition to that, the rug on which you are standing, that rug is yours. Because that letter of my master was received on that rug, on that carpet. He says, are you happy now? He says, yes. That may I be sacrificed to you, I'm pleased, I'm happy. And then he says that from my personal funds, there is a horse And you can have that as well. Are you happy now? He said, Ejoin Tukidank, yes, I'm happy now. And then it so happens that after a few months, this person, this farmer, he visits the Imam again. And says to the Imam, Imam inquires what happens, and he says that, Imam, this friend of yours, he was amazing. Beyond my expectations, I thought something, he might reduce it, or he might give me a little bit of a discount in those taxes, but he was an amazing person. He waived, he paid the taxes for my first year himself. And he sees the Imam, Imam is pleased more than this person, this farmer himself. And the more he said about his friend, the more happy the Imam became. And then it says to the Imam, it says, it seems as if I got happy, my problems were eased, but it seems that you two are happy. And Imam in reply says, Ewallah, laqad sarra Allah, wa qad sarra Rasulullah. That by God, by his action, that one person, he has pleased Allah, he has pleased his Rasul as well. So based on that love and hate which mu'mineen have, the performance of an individual is checked. The same thing is with this Ashura. Ashura plays an important part in the uplift of a person. Again, the battle of Ashura is the battle of love and hate. It's all based on that love, that asasul Islam, hubbuna ahlul bayt, laysat. That there's nothing but hope and books. When the Ashura can evolve us so much, the same thing is with Fatimiyya. That when we sit and mourn for Hazrat Zahra, that too evolves an individual a lot. So if Ashura has got that ability, Fatimiyya has got a bigger and a mightier and a stronger ability which evolves, and that is because as she is the mother of Aba Abdullah, the ayyam that are related to her are the mother of the days, mother of Ashura in a sense. And again, if you look into this battle of Ashura, it wasn't an armed battle as such. Or again, if you analyze it, the war takes place, it wasn't meant for the war. Or if Imam had the intentions that he is heading to fight, he will never take his wife and children. Now, having wife and children in a battlefield, it's danger zone. Or it is as if putting yourself into danger. So, according to the worldly calculations, it was a war which was definitely to be lost. The same thing was during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That the conspiracies of the Mala'in at that time were such that they just, after Rasulullah, they wanted to fight Amir al-Mu'mineen. They said that if we fight him, we will win, he will lose. And even if we don't fight him, and if we just create that fright in the community, again we have won. So in both cases, whether they were to come and fight Amir al-Mu'mineen or whether they were to create that fright in the community, in both cases they were to win. But how everything changes, the scenario changes, both in Karbala and during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So in other words, it was a fight, a battle of values. He fought for values, again, he and she, they fought for values. So the conspiracies were such that they wanted to fight Amir al-Mu'mineen, they come to the door, and then when someone knocks the door, it is normally the husband or the male gender present in the house, he goes and opens the door. And they were waiting for Amir al-Mu'mineen to come and open the door, to attack him, to take him, and to do what they wanted to do. But how come everything evolved over here, changed over here, and Zahra, she has to open the door. Now when she opens the doors, what the tactics, the conspiracies they had, they were all in vain. They wanted to fight him, they couldn't fight him. Now over here, when she opens the doors and they attack her, it's their evil existence which has been portrayed and seen by the world more. And one more thing to be borne in mind over here is that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is the Imam of time. He knows what is happening, the knowledge, the ilm which he possesses. Now, did he not know that they have come to bash and to attack the door, and at that time the wife is going to be killed, she will be hurt? He knew that. The instructions before Rasulullah passed away, when Jibreel came, says that I want this house to be evacuated, no one to be there, just Ali and Zahra. Jibreel says, these are the instructions to you, Rasulullah. And after you, the instructions to Ali are as such. He accepts, says patience. And when he says that the instructions to Ali, further instructions are that, he faints. And when inquires, says that the instructions were that Zahra is going to be attacked. Again, over here, Imam, he is the Imam. And when he is allowing Zahra to open the door, it means that he is signing the certificate of her Shahada, allowing her to open the door. And the riwayat, they say that when they attacked the house and they set it ablaze, it was, she was pregnant. That fire was thrown into the house even from below the door, and when she bent down to protect her child, her face also got burnt. The same thing is seen on the day of Ashura, that when Abu Abdullah Hussein, one after the other, the people, the ashab, the companions, they come to the Imam, they come to Imam for him to sign their certificate of Shahada. That is, if Imam permits, only then that Shahada is going to be accepted. And Imam signs those certificates of Shahada for each one of them. But when it comes to his own family members, it was immediately there and then. But for the others, they had to plead. Again, in this scenario of Ghadir, and when Saqifah takes place, Salman, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and when he inquires, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that the first person who accepted or who extended his allegiance to Abu Bakr was Shaitan. He himself has to come there in person. And what does he say? Says that يَوْمٌ كَيَوْمَ آدَمٌ, says, as I deceived Adam on that day, I did the same over here in that Saqifah. So, Shaitan, he plays his part over there. He played his part in Ghadir. He played his part in Saqifah. And the same thing on the day of Ashura. And when the household of Wahy is attacked, now the person who wants to bash on that door, he says that إِنَّ فِيهَا Fatima, that in this house Fatima is there. That Mal'un, he says that وَإِنْ, let her be, attack, burn that house down. Now which house is this? This is the house wherein the riwayat, they say that for 9 months, some say for 6 months, every day, Rasulullah, he comes in the morning and says, As-salamu alayka ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa, and then he starts his day. The same thing is on Ashura, that one after the other, everyone passes away, and the certificate of the Shahada is signed by Imam, and Imam, he is the last one to depart. Marhum Haj Mirza Khalil Kamarai, a great philosopher, a hakim, a faqih, and a very strong writer of ahadith, he says that Ahlul Bayt, they sat down in a place and were to continue their journey after the Fajr prayers. Now the caravan, it sets off, and there leading the caravan is Nu'man bin Bashir. Now he is a servant of Yazid, and a good person, meaning a well-mannered person. They come to a point, then Zainab, she says, from the caravan, Nu'man, where is this place? I smell the fragrance of my brother here. How come she smells the fragrance of her brother when it's not yet even Karbala? It's not close to Karbala. It's the point where the place to Medina, where the point to Medina and Iraq, it separates from them. Now Quran talks about this issue, says that قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ يُوسُفَ. That Prophet Yaqub, he smells the fragrance of his son Yusuf. He is in Canaan, and the shirt of Yusuf is to come from Egypt, and the distance between the two places is 20 days of journey, 20 days of travel. But Zainab over here, she smells the fragrance of her brother as Yaqub smelled the fragrance of his son Yusuf. They come to Karbala, and Imam Sajjad, he does not allow them to stay for more than 3 days. Just for 3 days they were there. And after all, he is the Imam, and they accepted. Everyone embarked and everyone is to depart from that place now. But Rabab, she comes and says to the Imam that I want to stay here. She is the mother of Ali Asghar and Sakina, wife of Abdullah Hussein. Says, I can't separate from this land. I have to stay here. And she stays back in Karbala. Stays back in Karbala onto the grave of Abdullah. The report says that after Fajr, she used to come there, put her face on the grave, cry all the day till Maghrib. And the tribe of Bani Asad, they said that, shall we put a shelter on this grave so that at least these blisters on your face, the sun is hurting you? She says, no. My Abdullah Hussein, he was in that heat, he was on this land, and I also should be as well. Rabab, she is the mother of Ali Asad. This young infant of Abdullah Hussein. And on this day of Ashura, when everyone had perished, no one remains, there he comes to the camp, he raises the cry of Hal min Nasir bin Zul, Hal min Dab bin Kadub wa Haram Rasulullah. Is there anyone who could help? Is there anyone who could assist, support this household of Rasulullah? And then comes to the camp. Now, a report says that this call was heard by the infant and he throws himself out of the cradle. Another report says that Abu Abdullah, he comes to the camp and says that, give me the baby, and maybe these people, if they don't have mercy on me, they might have mercy on this kid, on this infant, and they might give him some water. Now, how is this water given to the baby? That spear from that man'un who had come to Karbala with 3 spears, poison. And the reports, they say that it was so huge that this tiny neck of the baby was beheaded when he shot the arrow upon his heart. Ya qawm, illa tarhamuni farhamu hadha tifl. That if you have no mercy, at least have mercy on this kid. فَذَبَحَ التِّفْلُ مِنَ الْوَرِيدِ أَوْ مِنَ الْأُذُنِ. And this infant was beheaded. Min al-bari, the neck, or from the ear to the other ear, and he was beheaded in the laps of his father. Says that it was as such that the heat of the day of Karbala, no water, an infant dehydrated becomes so tiny that the moment that spear landed onto the neck, he just said once, twice, a sigh, and he fainted. And in that Qasida that we have from Sakina says that Shi'ati Mahma Sharifto Ma'a Azmin Fandibu. That my Shi'a, whenever you drink a sip of cold water, do remember Aw Sami'tum Bi Shaheedin Aw Ghareebin Fandibu. Or if you listen to the call of a Shaheed or a Ghareeb, do remember. Says that laytakum fi yawm ashura jami'an dhanthuruni, that I wish you saw me on the day of Ashura.
ولجميع أمة محمد وآل محمد ما تنسين.